From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show worldwide, coast to coast AM. Welcome new affiliate KQXXAM in Harlingen, Texas. Welcome aboard. Hope you all enjoy it. You know that story we've been following over the past couple of weeks about that Russian girl who claims to have X-ray vision? Well, listen to this. A doctor on ITV, that's in England, a television show, this morning's program, fears he may have cancer after a Russian girl who claims to have X-ray vision spotted problems. Dr. Chris Steele appeared to be a guinea pig for Natasha Demkina when she appeared on the show earlier this week. The 17-year-old said that she could see problems with his pancreas, liver, and kidneys. And while that turned out to be wrong, a scan he later took at a clinic showed enlarged lymph nodes in his abdomen. Further tests were carried out on the 58-year-old, who is now awaiting these results. This is what he said about all this. He says, "I was shaking when I read the results. I actually had a bit of a shock. I'm very concerned. I need further investigation. This could be serious." Natasha, now back in Moscow, said, "I'm so sorry to hear about Dr. Steele. He is such a nice man, but they just can't seem to figure out why she seems to be able to turn on her eyes to have X-ray vision, and then she can go back and see normally again. Very, very strange situation." In a moment, my guest will be Terry Hendry. She's an anchor person in Reno, Nevada. She has been studying ghosts for a while, nominated for an Emmy because of the series. We'll talk about her and her investigations in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Terry Hendry started with the morning show at KOLO Television in Reno, Nevada 14 years ago. She's currently the 5, 6:30, 11 p.m. co-anchor at KOLO TV. She began doing a series of ghost stories for Halloween in 1995, and the series uncovered things that no one ever expected or could explain. Last year, the series nominated for an Emmy Award. She's with us this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Oh, George, I'm doing fantastic tonight. It's such a thrill to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Are we taking away you from your anchor duties tonight?
Well, it's Friday night, and my co-anchor Brent Boynton said that he would be happy to carry the show for me this evening because we're just so thrilled to be on Coast to Coast.
Well, how did you start investigating ghost stories?
Well, it was back in 1995, and I can tell you, George, as a journalist, a trained journalist, I was not real thrilled with this assignment. Now picture this. You're a television reporter. You have to have picture, you have to have sound. And the assignment desk comes up with this brilliant assignment, and it sounds sexy and wonderful. Oh, let's do a series of ghost stories. Well, great. Who are you going to interview? A ghost? What are you going to use for pictures? Just a blank building, some sort of cemetery? I mean, what are you going to use?
Exactly.
And who are you going to interview? So I was not thrilled with this idea. So what I did was I thought, well, I need some sort of expert. I'm not going to be able to interview a ghost, for heaven's sake. So I'm going to have to hunt here, so to speak. And so I called around to the library, which is what we usually do when we're stumped. And the library said, well, why don't you check with some New Age bookstores and see what you can find? So that's what I did, and I called one of the New Age bookstores in town, and they recommended a number of people who are, quote, sensitive in this area, unquote. And I came across a psychic by the name of Jeannie Ambrose, who lived down in Carson City. So I gave her a call, and delightful woman. She was more than happy to help me out and said, whatever you need, I'm there to help you, Terry. I think it's wonderful that you're going to do a series on ghost stories. And I had no idea where I was going to shoot this thing.
And were you still a little reluctant at that point?
Oh, of course I was reluctant. I'm thinking, where's a haunted house? I mean, it's not like people come up to you and say, oh, my house is haunted. Would you show this on the evening news? So I had no idea. And just really as just an off comment, I said to her, well, Jeannie, do you have any idea where there might be some places where we can go and even have access to? And without even missing a beat, she says to me, well, you want good ghosts? You want bad ghosts? Of course, I said, I want both.
Yeah, really?
And that's what she did. She set us up that year, and it was a phenomenal year for us.
Now, we have one of your clips that I'd like to play to kind of set the tone, Terry, for what we're going to talk about this hour. But why don't you kind of ad lib us into it right before we play it?
Well, this was the first piece of the series, and really it's the most controversial part of the whole series, and it kicks it off so nicely. What happened was Friday the 13th and a full moon happened to fall in October of 1995.
Perfect.
So we spent the night in a haunted house, and it was a house that Jeannie said was haunted by three ghosts who were good ghosts. It was Margaret, and then Molly and Charles, and those are two names, Molly and Charles, that are really relevant to this sound piece. Well, what happened is we spent the night in this house, and nothing happened. We thought, oh, great. You know, we shot the video. I shot my stand-ups. We were going to do a historical piece, and yeah, it was all written for me. And there was one point where we were getting ready to go to sleep, and it was in the back room of this vacant house down in Carson City. And my photographer and the psychic son thought they saw something. So, of course, my photographer started rolling. Wasn't until we got back to the station that we discovered we had voices on tape, a female voice that was not our own.
Okay, let's listen to this actual news report that Terry filed during this entire episode. Here it goes.
And her family work out of the Thompson part of the city.
Boy, were we surprised. Jeannie insists there are at least three ghosts in this home, Charles, Molly, and Margaret.
I believe Charles was here, and then they just kind of came in and hung out.
Jeannie says the three have been known to rattle dishes, bang on the sink, drop things on the floor, basically let you know they're around.
They'll give me a touch, or they'll walk by me.
Once we knew what to look for, Jeannie and everyone else left the house and locked the doors behind them. Besides myself, a newsroom assistant, Kevin, and our photographer, Harry, settled in. We waited and hoped something would happen. It was just before dawn when Jeannie's son, Paul, and his wife, Nikki, joined us. By now, we were more sleepy than curious. That's when we all went into the back room for a nap, and that's when Paul swore he saw something.
I just saw, like, this outline of a person, and then they were all three there. I don't know, it freaked
me out. You are shaking.
I know.
It wasn't until we got back that we discovered something on the videotape we thought we'd never find. It was at the time that Paul thought he saw something, our camera was rolling, and it picked up voices that are not our own.
Yeah, right.
You can hear our cameraman Harry egging the ghost Charles on, and you can hear Paul. But who are those other voices?
Yeah, right. Charles.
How those other voices got there, we have no explanation.
We call those EVPs, Terry. Sounds like you captured some.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about it is this, George. When we got back into editing, now, if I get too technical on this and your eyes begin to roll back into the back of your head, please stop me. But on our camera, we were shooting on a format. It was a beta camera. We have what's called a natural sound microphone, and that's attached to the camera, and that's on the camera all the time. And it records in two channels, either one or two. We keep it real simple. Then we have another microphone that you can clip into the camera, and that's a closer microphone that usually has a longer cord, so you can end up, or the reporter felt so silly doing an interview somebody,
right,
so that you're not using that microphone that's on the camera. That long microphone or channel 2 microphone was put away into the bag. We only used the microphone that's on the camera to shoot just the B-roll, which is what Harry was shooting at the time. For some odd reason, and no one has been able to explain this, the female voice who says, "Hi, Charles," and then, "Molly, who are they?" that recorded in both channels 1 and 2, which is impossible, because there was only one microphone at the time, and you have to set it in either one channel or the other.
It can't go into both, right?
It cannot go into both. And then the odd thing about that is that we tried to boost the sound. You can tell the sound is very low. It's almost as if it's off into the distance.
Yes.
We tried to boost it. We couldn't boost the sound because when we did, the voice would fall apart. So it's a very finite property there where that voice could be detected.
Did you walk away from these series of interviews believing after you looked at the video, heard the sounds? I mean, did you start to say to yourself, there might be something to this?
You know, I came into this a total non-believer. I'm a big skeptic, a huge skeptic. You better show me the proof. And I've walked away with this. I can't say that I believe in ghosts because I don't know what that phenomenon is. I just know there's something there, and I really think it needs to be investigated further. It just makes sense to me because there are so many things that have happened to me while reporting on the ghost stories that are unexplained.
Well, I'm delighted that a mainstream television station, and that's what I'll call your station for lack of a better phrase, at least had the ability and the know-how to want to turn you loose on something like this. Because, you know, this is something on Coast to Coast that we've handled for years, that Art Bell handled for years, and I've followed in his footsteps doing this. And we have had guests on, Terry, who have recorded ghost voices before. Some of them pretty frightening. Little children who may have died hundreds of years ago, and you could hear them in the background. And for you to pick them up also is just reinforcing what I think a lot of us believe in, that there is indeed something over there on the other side.
It is validation that there is something. But, you know, what's funny, and you say that it's the mainstream media, I think the mainstream media would love to show this. The thing that I have found about it is this, and this is eye-opening in and of itself, even to me, the big skeptic, and that is this. You have to be open to it. If you totally shut it off and you say it doesn't exist and you are not respectful, this phenomenon, whatever it is, does not reveal itself to you. And I know this for a fact because the year following this series, we tried to duplicate it. I had a photographer who was not open to the idea of ghosts and was very disrespectful and disparaging to the whole process, and we got nothing.
Well,
zero.
You know what? You're lucky you weren't at a scene where these were tough entities, evil entities. They might have taken care of him.
I'm so glad you point that out, because also in the series, we ran into some that were not so nice. And it was up in Virginia City, Nevada, and it was a bar up there. And actually, my psychic at the time had said, as I had mentioned, good ghost, bad ghost. Of course, we wanted to check out the bad ghost. So we went up to the old Washoe Club, established back in 1875, been there forever. Prior to being a saloon, it was the Millionaires Club back in the heyday of the Comstock, and all the barons up at the time who struck it rich, either finding nickel or gold, used to belong to this club. And that's really how I met Jeannie, was outside of this bar. And she looked a little bit green. I thought she had the flu, and she said, "I can't go in there. This is just such a bad place."
She feels that, doesn't she?
It made her physically sick. And I thought maybe she did have the flu, but I talked her into going inside the bar and discussing what was there. There were many entities there, at least that's how she described it, and that there was one in particular that she did not like and one that scared her, who she called John, a male entity. And we left the bar. I got my interview. We did not meet the bar owner at that time. For some reason, she had some other obligation, couldn't meet us. She met with us, my cameraman and myself, a couple of days later, and pretty much confirmed the same story that Jeannie had confirmed, in that many entities here And one in particular, she didn't have a name for this particular entity, was a man who scared her and also scared some of the employees who worked at this bar. And I really didn't think anything of it. I just thought, well, isn't that interesting? I don't know that these two women collaborated or even know each other, but they have very similar stories. Well, I was also told there were mischievous spirits at this place, never knowing that I would ever encounter them. And I didn't document this, but this made me somewhat more of a believer than a non-believer. A couple days later, I woke up to the sound of what I thought was my glass door open, and I have these blinds that hang down, and there are weights on the bottom of these blinds, and they were slapping against the wall. It woke me up. And I thought, oh, you know, I must have left the door open. Darn. And I lived by myself at the time, so it would have been me to blame.
Right.
I was so tired, I didn't even get up. I just thought, oh, forget it. I'll get up later and get it. Well, the next morning I woke up and the door was closed. It was locked. There was no evidence that that sliding glass door had been open whatsoever. I really didn't think much of it. I thought maybe I was dreaming. And I noticed, I turned around and my dining room table is there, that the fixture from my light on top of my dining room table, it had come down. And I thought, well, maybe it fell down and maybe that was the noise that I heard. So I completely dismissed it and never thought about it again. It happened again the next night. I heard the blinds slapping against the wall. This time I got up. When I got up, the sound stopped. Well, I thought, well, I better check the door, make sure I didn't leave it open. I didn't. The door was closed. It was locked. I went back to bed and I thought, well, maybe it's windy outside. We have winds in this area and sometimes they can make a lot of noise. Made it a mental note that the next day I would check with our meteorologist. Well, he said there was no wind in the area the next day. So, again, I didn't think anything of it. I'm going along my own schedule. I go to wash some dishes in the sink and all of a sudden, all this water comes out of the bottom of my sink, and I think, oh, great, got to call the plumber. Well, I'm thinking now, I've got to get into work. It's late in the afternoon, and I'm trying to find now what time it is. All my clocks in my house, either they had stopped, or they were running fast, or they were running slow.
But they were all haywire.
They were all haywire, and I have a jewelry box full of wristwatches. Not one of them worked. Again, I didn't think anything of it. I just went into work. I called the plumber. He called me back. He met me at my house. I let him in. He looks under the sink, and he says, somebody's playing a joke on you. And I said, what are you talking about? Points down to the bottom of the sink. Someone had unscrewed the main pipe that leads down into the sink.
And that just doesn't happen by itself, Terry.
No. I live by myself. I was single at the time. No one had access to my place. And here I am thinking, somebody's playing a joke on me. I'm going to have to change the locks to my house. George, I'm so dense, it didn't dawn on me until that evening when I'm sitting on my couch that my dog all of a sudden looks at the blank wall and you know how they twist their head?
Oh, yeah. And animals are very sensitive to this.
He turns his head and he starts wagging his tail at the wall. And I'm thinking, what's that about? And then he jumps up on the wall and he gives this puppy bark that he doesn't normally give. And now I'm thinking, I've seen movies and television shows. This isn't normal. I think I have a ghost in here. So, of course, I call Jeannie, and she confirms that, oh, yeah, they can follow you. What you need to do is tell them no more mischief. But what she pointed out to me was that you notice them, now they are noticing you, and they want you to tell about them. And so that made an impression on her phone.
Well, you... Right. I mean, something followed you home that day.
And, you know, after a discussion against, or cried, whoever is here, don't do this anymore. You're scaring me. Nothing ever happened again.
Do you know if the bar that you went and visited and ran into Jeannie for the first time, do you know if people had died there?
You know, what I know in terms of the history of that bar is scant. What I do know is this. That at one time, it was a place where millionaires used to hang out. What Jeannie told me was there was an entity who was very envious when he was alive, wanted so much to be a part of this, and for whatever reason, was not allowed to be.
Interesting. Maybe he died, just kept visiting the place. Stay with us, Terry. We'll be back with you in just a moment. We'll also open up the phone lines if you have a question for Terry Hendry. We'll take it then. I'm George Norrie, and you're listening to Coast AM.
Reserve your free CD of Art Bell and Malachi Martin when you subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
On the CoastToCoastAM.com website, under the first hot story, to coin a phrase, La Jolla, California firefighters were fighting a tire shop fire a few days ago. They actually believe that a ghost helped them put out the fire. If you can believe it or not, you might want to take a look at the picture. It's unbelievable. You can see the firefighter in the background. Now, the police chief, the fire chief says, hey, you know, that looks like some of our uniforms, right? The problem is we were wearing white and black hats. The ghost is wearing a blue one. Also, let me tell you a little bit about the After Dark newsletter, the February issue. That will be coming out very shortly. And if you order After Dark, a couple ways to order. 1-888-727-5505. 1-888-727-5505. The other way is coasttocoastam.com. You can get a free CD, one of Art Bell's earlier interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin. It's there for you. It's on exorcisms. It'll be a collector's item. And that's La Jolla, Texas firefighters on that picture, that ghost picture, by the way, not California. Terry Hendry, my guest. She's an anchor person for the television station KOLO in Reno, Nevada. Do you call it Colo or just KOLO?
Either one.
Okay. Terry, we're going to take some calls this hour, but there have been other episodes, too, so you just didn't stop with just those two events, did you?
You think they would let me stop after that?
Uh-uh.
Well, that first year, we haven't even gone through the first year. You know, after I had told Jeannie about my experience and this mischievous ghost or ghost that followed me home, she relayed to me a few days later, now this is in the process of a couple of weeks, that she felt very uneasy about this evil entity, and I use the word evil loosely here because I don't know the motive of this ghost, much less whether there really was an entity there. I'll leave that to your listeners to decide.
Our imagination.
Or imagination. But she had a very uneasy feeling and felt that she needed to go in and cleanse the place and that she needed to contact the owner and let them know that if Jeannie didn't do it, that somebody needed to go in there and do that. And I told her, I said, well, I'll get you in contact with the owner, not a problem, but you have to let me videotape whatever you do. That's the deal. And of course she agreed to that and just sort of laughed about it. But we ended up going up and videotaping the cleansing. And apparently this entity, John, as she called him, was not willing to go. How he gained access, she believes, and we talked a little bit about this before the break, is that in life, John really envied everyone who was in this millionaires club, wanted to be a part of it, but for whatever reason, he was ostracized and kept out.
Probably was only worth $900,000.
That would be my luck. But in death, apparently he found a way to gain access. And what had happened is this. I know there are a lot of people out there who probably love antiques and love old things, but emotions and feelings can carry entities. I never understood this until now. And because the place was not doing well, this bar was not doing well, and that apparently is something that is very common when there is an evil entity that's in a place, is that a place will not flourish monetarily. They were having a difficult time, and so they opened up what they called a museum of the macabre in the back room, in the storage room. And even that didn't prosper, and so they had broken it down, and there were other items that were all put in this little storage room in the very back. One of the items was a child's casket. And when Jeannie came across just areas, there were boxes piled up, and she walked across and came across where this casket was, she became physically ill. It just didn't sit well with her.
No.
She had to leave the room and then come back. She feels that John attached himself to this casket. This was how he gained access, through the sad feelings and the remorse and the sadness and the resentment from the death of this child, that for whatever reason it was the same energy that resonated with this entity, and he was able to gain access into the place through that. So what she advised the owner to do was to get rid of this casket, which the owner did, but she also advised the owner to go ahead and cleanse the place. And John, as I'd mentioned, didn't want to go willingly. So we started on the second floor, and they began their cleansing process. We videotaped, went all the way through, ended down into this room where the casket was located. And historically speaking, this is where the morgue used to be up in Virginia City. The ground was so hard up there during the winter times because the ground was frozen. What they would do is store bodies in this room until the spring when it would thaw and they could bury them.
Sounds like a fun place.
Well, it really wasn't a fun place. It was really kind of a sad place. And me, who's not sensitive at all to any of this stuff, I did feel sad being in that room. I have to admit.
You did?
Yeah, I did. And I don't normally empathize in that way, but I did feel sad. I felt something there, and I also felt cold spots in the room.
Yeah.
Which I think that happens to a lot of people, and they just write that off. It's not a big deal, but it could indicate something. Well, after we had finished the ceremony, we were all sitting in the storage room. We were talking. There were boxes everywhere, and Harry kept videotaping what we call B-roll. He's just getting extra videotape in case we need to cover here and there. And I heard him say, "Oh, my gosh." And I thought he'd cut himself on a box or something. And I said, "You all right?" And he turns to me, he goes, "You got to come look at this." And what had happened was he had a light on top of his camera, and this light caught a reflection inside a box. The box was a glass artifact table. It had sand on the bottom of the table. There were many boxes stacked on top of it. And there was a lid on top of this artifact table. Written in the sand inside this table was the word stop. I didn't write it. He didn't write it. I don't know who did. Maybe this entity did.
But it was there.
It was there, as was some prints of a cat, which they had claimed also there was a cat that they could see every now and again, just little wisp of this cat. When they'd go to call the cat or find the cat, it wasn't there. So they always joked they may have had a ghost cat. So,
do you know most ghost investigators, Terry, would give their right arms to be able to have all that available? And you just seem to be right in the middle of it all.
You know, some people would ask you whether you'd rather be smart or lucky. I'm not real smart, so in this case, I guess I got real lucky.
Your colleagues, the camera people, how did they react to all of this later on?
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is my colleagues, it was split 50-50. And I've noticed this about people in general, George, and that is this. Really a good thing that's going on. And what stories, and you say, well, this is what happened to me. They'll relay their stories. Well, something like that happened to me too, and it was unexplained, and I don't know what that is. They feel open about that, and they'll share that with you. And then there are others who will just ridicule you. And they don't do it in a polite way. They will accuse you of, you made this up, you're crazy, you're hysterical. And so it really does make you feel bad, but I can only say this, I know what I saw, and I didn't make it up, so there's got to be some other explanation out there.
Has it changed your views on life after death?
It has made me think this, that there is something out there that we don't understand. And for any listener out there who thinks they know all the answers, great. Could you explain it to the rest of us?
Let's take some calls. You ready?
Oh, most certainly.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Hi, Terry. This series sounds fascinating, and I was wondering if you're... I had another question, too, after this, but
sure.
I was wondering if your station was planning on putting it out on video or DVD so the rest of us can see it.
Oh, what a great idea. What a great idea.
There
it
is.
Suggest it.
I'll put that in the suggestion box.
Okay. And I wanted to know if you'd been to Amargosa, which is purported to be haunted.
You know, we have kept to areas, and I knew this would probably come up tonight, and it's a very good point, and I'm so glad you bring it up. I think there are so many places that are haunted. We tried to stay in our area, which was around Reno, just for obvious reasons, because I think it would have local interest. And then I tried to stay away from areas that were commercial. There are some places that would benefit financially
exactly.
with this idea or notion that they're haunted. And what happens with those places is that they end up setting rules for you and parameters, and then they make up these stories, and it's very hard to verify. If they just said, okay, here, have at it, go shoot whatever you want, that would be one thing. But there are some people who try to put a spin on it. It makes it more difficult.
I see. Well, we'll wait for the DVD.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. I am a little suspicious sometimes, Terry, when I'll interview somebody and then in the process of the interview find out that the hotel that maybe they saw this entity is taking orders for bed and breakfasts.
And you know, that's the thing too. I mean, I get paid a flat salary, even if they make a DVD. I'm not going to make any more money. I'm not in this for the money. I'm really in it because I'm curious. And my photographer, Justin Cano, is the same way. He's curious as well. But there's so much garbage out there, and I really hope I don't disparage anyone who works on these types of shows. But I know you've seen them on the Travel Network Discovery and the Learning Channel, and there are all these haunted places, and it's not like that. I mean, when you go there, what I have discovered is that it's very sedate. If there's a phenomenon going on, it's real subtle. And it's just like I got on your website, and I was looking at the firefighters. You kind of look at that and you say, well, what is that? I don't understand, you know, is that something that happened with the digital camera? Was that a mistake? It's so subtle, and you can second guess it over and over, but the bottom line is that happened.
I know
you
it.
Got that image. So.
And if it's a mistake, again, like the fire chief said, we weren't wearing blue hats, you know, and all the other ones were wearing black and white firefighter hats. So how does that happen?
Explain that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that is very, very common with this. And quite frankly, you can miss it. I mean, someone who took this picture could have just said, oh, that was a mistake, and just simply thrown it out.
I'm at a point now where I believe that there, without question, is another dimension that these beings, these entities are in. And, of course, there's a difference between a ghost and a spirit. Spirits generally know where they're headed. A ghost really does not. Someone who may have died tragically. I've got to tell you a very fascinating story that
I had a caller call me several years ago, and she was an emergency medical technician, and she had got on the scene of an accident when she was driving in her own car, and there was nobody else around. It was a darkly lit road, and a car was somewhat turned over, and there was a body lying next to the car in a plaid shirt, and she jumped out of her car, and there was nobody around, and she goes running to this person who's down there, obviously near death, and as far as she could see, it was very dark out. She didn't have a cell phone with her, and you know, she's holding up the person, trying to figure out what is wrong. She spots an individual across the road from her, just staring at her in the body, and she's screaming at this person, "Go get help! Go get help!" And the person just kind of just stared at her. She looked back at the body and then back to that individual again, because she needed help, and he was gone. She realized that person was wearing the same plaid shirt of the person that she was holding.
Gosh.
Yeah, isn't that something? It just sends chills up your spine when you hear stuff like that.
Well, I have not seen an actual entity per se. Again, if it were to present itself, would I even recognize it would be the question, because I don't know that I am sensitive per se. What happens with me is I don't realize it till I come back and look at the videotape where I can see, oh, there's an image, or oh, there's a voice that I didn't hear when I was out there. But what I have seen is what they call orbs, and I didn't know what this was until I asked around. And those seem to be quite common.
Yes. Yes. Now, when you say you see them, not a lot of people see them with their naked eye. They see them on film and video afterwards as these glowing balls. But you actually saw them?
Well, what I can see, if I'm going to, you know, say that I can see something, it's something out of the corner of the eye.
Yes.
It almost looks like a shadow or something that has moved. And you would miss it normally unless you're looking for it. And typically when I go into a place now, I'll be looking. There's one place in particular, and I would love to go back if they'll allow me. And again, I try to get to places that are not commercial or that would not benefit by the knowledge that, you know, they're haunted. There's a school up in Virginia City. It's an art school, and it hasn't been until very recently that I've been able to gain access to it. At one time, in the waning days of the Comstock, it was an orphanage. Prior to that, it was the hospital up there. Now imagine this, in the days before they had antibiotics, in the days before they had any anesthetic. I mean, the things that could have happened up in that place. And they performed operations and all kinds of things up there. When you walk into this place, and I am not as sensitive by any stretch, you would never claim to be, you walk into this place and the feeling is just overwhelming. Sadness. It's just a heavy feeling when you walk in. And about, I would say, 6 years ago, I went with a different photographer, and we were trying to sweet talk our way into this because we had heard that in certain places animals won't go. And we were told that basically, animals won't go into the back room, and that used to be the place where they would keep people who were contagious and people who were terminal. You know, they didn't know what else to do with them. And so we were aiming to get in that back room, and we walked up, and of course, they let us in. They were very nice. They didn't want us to take pictures or anything. And we walked around, and then they took us into the back room, and we walked around. We got into the car, and we were getting ready to leave, and mission was not accomplished. They weren't going to let us do a story there, not that year. And I said to my photographer, "So what do you think?" And he said, "Interesting. You know, people don't want to talk about it, you know." I said, "Oh, interesting. That's all you have to say? Interesting?" He says, "Well, I think that place is haunted." And I said, "Okay, so why? Tell me." And he said, "You know, I don't think it's the back room. I think it's room number 11. And I thought, you know, the very same thing. I said, "You know, I think you're right." Now, here are two people who are not sensitive who could feel this for whatever reason. Now, last year, I was fortunate enough to be able to go in there. The person who owns the property now allowed us access, and we did videotape. And we got some interesting stuff in there, and I would like to spend some more time in there. Again, they sort of rushed us through. They don't want this kind of publicity.
No, no, but they know there's something going on, don't they?
There is something going on there, and it's not, we discovered, was upstairs they used to keep a padded cell room. Well, that room number was 11, interesting, and supposedly you can see a nun there every now and again. There are some people who've stayed there who have said, oh, yeah, you know, definitely there's a nun presence here. And that's where I've seen something out of the corner of my eye. They call her the white nun. I didn't see anything white. What I saw looked like a black cape. And I thought, well, that wouldn't be in a hospital. But, you know, nuns do have a black habit.
Oh, yeah, they sure do.
Habit,
and
so,
especially years ago, most of them were dressed in black.
You know, maybe that was what I did see. But at that staircase, apparently animals won't go, and I would love to take a dog or my dog over there and just
yeah,
go and check it out.
He won't go. He's probably a chicken. Terry, the phone lines are jammed.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
And rather than tell everyone you are going away, do you want to stay a little bit longer at the
if
right
you'll
after?
Have me, I would love
yeah,
to.
Yeah, why don't we do that? You know, you were talking about B-roll. In my early days of television, B-roll was actually the film. That's how long we go back.
Well, me too. But let's not tell anybody, okay?
All right, we won't do that. So you stick around. We're going to chat with you right after we come right back at the top of the hour. So all of you who have been holding, hoping to get a chance to talk with her about these ghost stories, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with you because during open lines as well, I'm going to open up a special hotline for that old hag hotline. Oh, that's right. You know who she is, that person, that old woman who visits you in the dark when you're sleeping. Some scientists say it's a sleep paralysis, but you know better, don't you?
Would you pay 15 cents to hear this show in its entirety? That's the daily charge for StreamLink. Sign up at www.coasttocoastam.com